I want to begin by saying, wow, we have encountered the presence of God in such a profound way this morning, and I just want to give Him praise and honor and glory for just making His presence known. I want to thank all of you for being so gracious to come back to church and in-person worship. I want to thank those sitting up in the balcony. I know the air is thin up there, but we praise God for you being willing to spread out so that we can embrace social distancing. And we want to say to those of you who are joining us online, we want to welcome you. And wherever you're listening from, watching from, we want to thank God for you that you would carve out time to join us for this dynamic worship experience. And then as we dive into God's Word, we want it to be a time that will transform your life. It's hard to believe that we have waited 6 months. We have waited for 182 days for this moment, and this moment is that we could finally open our doors to have in-person, on-campus life groups. And I want to say, if you really believe that the tomb is still empty, if you really believe that Jesus is coming again, I want you to stand up and let me know, and I'm going to video how excited you are to be back in the house to worship God. Would you stand up and let me know? Let's just praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm so thankful for you. And I want to say to all of our life group teachers, all of our life group volunteers, thank you for investing in teaching and preparing. Thank you for all of our coordinators for being care group leaders, prayer coordinators. Thank you for our life group ministry teams. We're so grateful for you, even now those who are serving in preschool and children's area, so that we can be in this large house of worship together. I want us to give it up for all of our life group leaders and those who are serving our life group ministry. Let's thank them right now for their ministry. Appreciate every one of you. And I just love God's timing. As we've been marching through the book of James, we come to the section of James in chapter 3 where James talks about walking in wisdom. Walking in wisdom. And we need God's wisdom to flow through us. Some of you have really been stretched in this season, this COVID-19 2020 season. Some of you have become homeschoolers for the first time. Some of you were homeschoolers for a short time. 2 or 3 days and said, I have had my fill, you're going back to school. And you've sent them back to the campuses. We've had teachers who've had to be in this hybrid model of teaching the class in front of them while also teaching the class on Zoom. You have Zoom and those in the room. We have life group teachers who've embraced that hybrid model of teaching those in the room as well as Zoom. So all of us have needed God's wisdom to flow like a river. So I want to know this morning how to walk in wisdom. How to walk in wisdom. Yes, we have to coexist with COVID. Until COVID is totally defeated, we are not going to let COVID defeat us. We're going to walk in wisdom. We're going to learn how to coexist with COVID until COVID goes down. So let's learn how to walk in wisdom. Some of you will remember years ago, the original Karate Kid movie. How many of you saw that movie? Would you raise your hand? I was much younger then, and I had taken karate as a child, and so I was really excited about the Karate Kid coming out. Went to the movie theater to watch it, and I want you to know I was transfixed to the screen. I was so excited about watching the Karate Kid in action. And it had such a strange flow of the movie where Daniel goes to Mr. Miyagi's house, and Mr. Miyagi called him Danielson. I love that, Danielson. And he went to be mentored by the best. You see, Daniel had been bullied at school. Daniel had been inflicted with much pain and adversity, and he needed outside influence. He needed somebody who would invest in him. He needed somebody who would make deposits in his life to help him to become the young man that God had created him to be. And so in this mentoring relationship, I love the scene where Mr. Miyagi takes Danielson outside to the car and he says, wax on, wax off, wax on, wax off. And Daniel, because his level of immaturity, could not make the correlation between what he was learning at the car and what would be transferred to real life. Daniel's son had not had enough life experiences to make the connection. But you and I were watching the movie knowing this is going somewhere. This is not a wasted season. God does not waste trauma. God does not waste delays. God does not waste times in our lives when we feel like we're derailed. But God was up to something. God was working. Wax on, wax off. And then the day came where it all clicked for Daniel's son, where to defend himself against the bullies at school, he was able, through that self-defense of what he learned from Mr. Miyagi, who, by the way, could snag a gnat with chopsticks. Can I have an amen? And Daniel's son got to the place where he now made the connection that all the wisdom that had been deposited in him was now being realized when he was wax on, wax off, wax on, wax off to protect himself. And I want you to know, maybe this morning you're going through a season. For you, it feels like wax on, wax off. It feels like you're just treading water. You're marking time and you're wondering, am I wasting my life? Am I making a difference? Why am I going through this season? Why am I experiencing this delay? And I want you to know, God doesn't waste delays. That God is molding you and God is shaping you. God is developing you. And I want to challenge you this morning. As we learn to walk in wisdom, whatever you're walking in right now, don't let it define you. But let it develop you. Let it develop you. As you learn to walk in wisdom. And we pick up in James chapter 3, verse 13, if you'll go there with me. And I want to ask you a personal question. Are you wise? Are you wise? If so, let it show, let it show, let it show. Sounds like a song, doesn't it, Pastor Brett? Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. If you're wise, James is saying, let it show, let it show, let it show. We pick up now in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? It's a loaded question. By his good conduct, let him show his works. There's our phrase. Let it show, let it show, let it show. Let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Now here, this word wisdom in the language of the New Testament is sophos. In verse 5 of chapter 1, it's Sophias. It literally describes one with moral insight and skill and practical issues of life. One who has grown in their understanding of how to navigate life. So James is asking, who is wise among you? Who is understanding among you? This word understanding refers to intellectual perception. Who is able to see what others aren't seeing? Who is able to discern what others are missing? Who is wise among you? Who is understanding among you? Demonstrate it. Make it known. Show your wisdom through your lifestyle. James is asking, who is truly skilled in the art of living? Maybe even now, there are people that are coming to your mind who are skilled in the art of living. Maybe it's the Miyagis of your life. And there's such a parallel here where James tells us earlier, faith without works is dead. Where James says, you show me your faith without works, I will show you my faith by my works. Here James is saying, by your conduct, show your works in the meekness of wisdom. Manifest your spiritual maturity. Maybe you've met a person that really excelled and you looked to them and said, wow, you are wise beyond your years. Has anyone ever said that to you? Now, would you look to somebody next to you and just go ahead and say that to be a blessing? You are wise beyond your years. Go ahead and say that to them. Now you've heard it, you can receive it. You are wise beyond your years. Some of you are saying, tell me again. I need to hear that one more time. Notice, wisdom is not measured by degrees. Wisdom is measured by deeds. We talked about last Sunday putting feet to your faith. And here James is saying, make your wisdom known. Let it show, let it show, let it show. Because wisdom's not measured but by degrees, but by deeds. Let it show. Because by letting God's wisdom in you show, it's going to be a blessing and benefit to other people. And that's why we're here, to be a blessing and benefit to others. The second question I want to ask this morning is this: how do you recognize earthly wisdom? Here in our passage, James is going to elevate earthly wisdom, and we're going to dial in on that. And then he's going to elevate heavenly wisdom. We're going to dial in on that. And how do you discern the difference? Because both kinds of wisdom are operative in our culture. We combat it every single day. So how to recognize earthly wisdom? Let's look at verse 14. When you're there, would you shout amen? But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, that heavenly wisdom. But it is earthly, unspiritual. James even calls it demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Now look at these words. Bitter jealousy. Here in the language of the New Testament, literally speaks of undrinkable water. Many of you will remember growing up before water bottles took over the land. If you were playing outside and you got thirsty, you did not dare go in the house, because if you went in a house, it means you opened the door. If you opened the door, you were compromising the air conditioner system in your home. So you would be told, get the water outside, and you would go to the water hose, and you were just praying that the water hose had been used recently, because if you picked up a water hose and you turned the water on, if you were wise, you would let the water run through it a little while. But if you were unwise, you would immediately start drinking the water. And what would it do? It would bite you. It would attack you. It was so bitter because the water had been in that water hose and had received a sun tanning experience for many weeks or months. And then when you drank that water, it was bitter. That's the word picture. Bitter jealousy. Bitter jealousy infiltrates your life. So this bitter combined with this envy and jealousy defines a harsh, resentful attitude toward others. And then James identifies selfish ambition. It literally means to spin wool, thus working for personal gain. So you have this bitter jealousy that's at work and this selfish ambition, and you bring those together, and what it gives evidence of is earthly wisdom. These traits that James identifies, that this is the wisdom that's earthly. This is the wisdom that is unspiritual. It's not flowing from the heart of God. And he even calls it demonic. Whenever I was pastoring my seminary church many, many years ago, I remember an individual that we led to Christ and his family following believers' baptism. Was a great experience, and he had grown up Catholic and then came to faith in Jesus Christ, was growing in his faith. And back then we had Sunday school open assembly where the whole church came to the worship center for just an opening, and then you went to your Sunday school class, your life group. And I remember I was sitting on the front row because I'd have a part of that session. And then whenever Joe got up, he was getting after it as a new believer, developing and growing. He was our Sunday school superintendent. Attendant, growing in his faith, and he was talking about an experience he had, and he said, I want you to know it was satanic. And I got with Joe. I said, Joe, did you mean satanic? He said, nope, I meant satanic. It was worse than satanic. Here James is saying that sometimes wisdom that we employ is demonic. So you can bring this to your daily rhythm. When you see somebody acting out of alignment, you say, that's not the wisdom of God. That's not heavenly wisdom. Just look at them and say, you know what? The way you're acting, that is satanic. Demonic. Meaning influenced by the evil one. And we see that so exemplified in Genesis chapter 3. Where Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden, it's paradise, had unbroken, unhindered fellowship with God. And then the serpent shows up, and the serpent, his goal is to get you to question God's wisdom and compromise your convictions, compromise God's best. And instead of embracing God's way and God's will and God's wisdom, the enemy tries to get you to embrace earthly wisdom, natural wisdom, demonic wisdom. And here's how he did it. He says to Eve, did God really say? Trying to get Eve to question God. That God's best was for her, and that these guardrails that God established in the garden was for their benefit. And then the enemy comes in and said, did God really say? And I want you to know that the enemy is still active today, like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour, that he wants to get you to question God's will, God's way, God's word. He wants you to question God's best, and he wants you to compromise your Christianity and to embrace the way of the world and to embrace the way of carnality instead of embracing God's way. Here, James gives us the fruit of jealousy and selfish ambition. Notice, disorder and every vile practice. So you observe the fruit and trace it to the root. And when you have bitterness and selfish ambition working together, it's going to generate the fruit of disorder in every vile practice. Can I ask you a question? Have you seen any of that in our land? Have you seen that in our social media posts? People who would have never said that or saying that. People who would have never posted that or posting that. We have this new culture of if you feel it, if you think it, say it. It doesn't matter who it violates. It doesn't matter who it bashes. It doesn't matter what it does to an individual. I want to say to you this morning, that is earthly wisdom. And it generates the fruit of disorder in every vile practice. You see, those who possess wisdom from below will demonstrate by their lives that they have no saving relationship with Jesus Christ and no desire to worship, serve, and obey him, because they're operating out of earthly wisdom. Their orientation is earthly rather than heavenly. Now, don't get too down. We're going to turn the corner now and get to some good news. How to recognize heavenly wisdom. And my prayer for us and my vision for us is that you and I would walk out of this beautiful worship center embracing the heavenly wisdom God offers. For those of you who are joining us online, that you'll move away from earthly wisdom and that you'll embrace heavenly wisdom and that your whole life will be oriented around pleasing God and him alone. Look at verse 17. But the wisdom from above, would you say that with me? But the wisdom from above, that is heavenly wisdom, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Look at verse 18. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So here James has given us the traits of heavenly wisdom. Pure instead of tainted. Peaceable instead of troubled, gentle instead of aggressive, open to reason rather than reactionary, full of mercy instead of judgmental, good fruits instead of unfruitful, impartial instead of being partial or prejudiced, which means to prejudge, sincere rather than deceptive. The word sincere literally means non-hypocrisy. One of my mentors, when he was younger in his preaching days, getting started, he was fired up in one of these revivals he was preaching, and he was getting after it. And he said to that church, what's wrong with this church is all this hypocrisy. And they said, amen, preacher. He was identifying the presence of hypocrisy. And what James is saying is that heavenly wisdom is reflected in sincerity and authenticity. What's so interesting here is James gives us these characteristics of heavenly wisdom, and they're in alignment with the Beatitudes of Jesus in Matthew 5. Pure, Matthew 5, 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Peaceable, Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Gentle, open to reason, Matthew 5, 5, blessed are the meek. Remember, meekness is not weakness, it's power under control. Full of mercy, Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Good fruits, Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Impartial and sincere. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's a brokenness of understanding our depravity, that we're nothing without God, and thus impartial and sincere. And don't miss verse 18. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And I want to ask you this morning, are you willing to become a person of peace? And being a peacemaker reflects the heart of God, who is our peace speaker. And peacemaking often involves confrontation, because you have to confront relationships that have drifted. You have to confront behaviors that are not in alignment with the heartbeat of God. So sometimes peacemaking is confrontational, but you speak the truth in love to be a blessing and benefit to others. So here's what I want to know this morning. How do you grow in wisdom? How many of you would like to grow in wisdom? Or how many of you say, you know what? I've got all the wisdom I need for the rest of my life. I am full and overflowing. We all need to grow in wisdom. If you know somebody who has room for improvement in the area of wisdom, would you just acknowledge that there's somebody who needs it? How to grow in wisdom. Let me give you four steps to plug in Monday morning. Number one, ask God for it. If you need wisdom, just ask God for it. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. I love Proverbs 2:1-8. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. I love verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. 1 Kings chapter 3, where God asks Solomon, what shall I give you? And think of all that Solomon could have asked God for, but instead Solomon just said, an understanding and discerning heart to govern your people. Solomon was asking for wisdom. And because he asked for wisdom, God dispensed wisdom, but also honored him with riches and with honor. What about you? Are you willing to ask God? Number two, I want to challenge you to read one chapter of Proverbs every day. The wisdom literature. Proverbs. Whatever day it is, like today's the 13th, so you read Proverbs 13. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, read Proverbs 13, the whole chapter. And what you'll find is if you'll do that every day, every month, you'll read through the book of Proverbs. And every year, you'll read through the book of Proverbs 12 times, allowing God to dispense wisdom into you. I love Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Number three. Spend time with wise people. Do you know that Bible verse, birds of a feather flock together? Well, it's not in the Bible. That was grandmother telling us that. It's bad company corrupts good character. Those you hang out with is who you will become like. So the Word of God teaches, if you want to become wise, walk with the wise. That's Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. I want to challenge you. Walk with wise people. Spend time with them. And let them invest in your journey. Then number four, cultivate an abiding relationship with Christ. Come to know Christ and then cultivate that love relationship with him. And what you'll discover is everything in your life flows out of that abiding relationship. That's John 15:5, where Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But Pastor Stephen, what if I'm facing a situation where I'm trying to decide not between good and evil, not earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom, Those are obvious. What about if I have a situation where I'm trying to discern God's will between good and good? I actually had that phone call this week from a member who said, Pastor Stephen, I have two opportunities that are really good, and we don't want to miss God. Both really good opportunities. And I responded by saying, well, I know that wherever God leads you, I know you, and you're going to bloom where God plants you. He said, absolutely. He's like, but I just don't want to miss God's will. So how do you discern between good and good? How to make a wise decision when it's between good and good? For him, it was between becoming a pastor or a missionary. Four things I shared. Number one, explore the land. You have opportunities in front of you. Explore the land. Know what you're saying no to so you can know what you're saying yes to. Number two, walk in the light God gives you. Walk in the light God gives you. Obey what you know, and as you obey, he will show you the way. Number three, leave room for mystery. God may want to surprise you along the way. And also, you'll discover that God may want to stretch you beyond your current capacity. Number four, learn to ask the best question ever. I learned this question as I read Andy Stanley's book years ago called The Best Question Ever. And here it is. In light of your past experiences, current circumstances, and future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? What's the wise thing to do? And then I shared with this member of our church, as you explore the land and walk in the light God gives you, leave room for mystery and continue to ask what's the wise thing to do. Here's what's going to happen. God's going to help you discern the difference between an opportunity and his next assignment. God's going to make it very clear and very obvious. So what kind of wisdom do you need? What are you walking through right now where you just really need God's wisdom dispensed in your life? And I want to say this to you. The wisest decision you can make is becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. And you're surrounded by hundreds of people in this room who've already made that decision. And the reason it's the wisest decision you'll ever make is because that decision will determine your eternal destiny and your daily reality. And I want to challenge you, become a follower of Jesus Christ. Be willing to turn from your sin and trust in Jesus alone for salvation, and you can enjoy John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, that is Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. That God has so built this amazing love bridge to you to bring you into the family of God. He's done all the work by allowing Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins 2,000 years ago so that you could come into relationship with Almighty God. You can become a child of God. And he removes your sin. He deposits his righteousness. He gives you eternal security. He fills you by the Holy Spirit of God. And now you can walk in his wisdom because it's not about you. It's about God in Christ living his life in you and through you so that you can bring him glory and that you can invest the rest of your life walking in wisdom. Would you like to embrace that way of living? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes right where you are. And if you would like to make that most important decision of your lifetime, I'm going to ask those of you who are online if you'll text your name to the number on the screen, and we'll have someone connect with you to share with you how you can become a follower of Christ and be saved today. Just text your name to the number on the screen. For those here in our worship room, if you'd be willing, right after the service, just go to my right, your left. This back corner is our friendship room. People are spread out in there with their mask on. Social distancing will be embraced. And when you walk in that room, they say, hi, what's your name? What's on your heart? And someone will share with you how you can become a follower of Jesus Christ and you can be saved today. And walk in God's wisdom, heavenly wisdom. Don't delay. Maybe you'd say, Pastor Stephen, I already know the Lord, but I'm struggling. I've been drifting from God, and I'm ready to come back into intimacy with him and that abiding relationship you talked about. I encourage you to go to the friendship room or text your name to the number on the screen. Let God have his way in your life. Maybe you need God's wisdom for a decision you need to make. You're walking in it right now, trying to discern between good and good, and you don't want to miss God's best. God wants you to know, but He wants you to pursue Him and to trust Him as you walk with Him.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.